All right, welcome to the Fans of Wrestling Show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick with Mick Villas. Danny Danger's out on a vacation.
On assignment. We don't say on vacation. You know, that makes him seem like he's out lounging. He's on an important assignment.
Anyways, as I'm saying, if I was really interrupted, he's not with us. He'll be back hopefully next week, if not the week after, joining us. But in the meantime, it's us. We're here, and we are going to talk about a bunch of stuff been going on because, you know, life in pro wrestling is always going and giving us so much to talk about. Later on, we are going to have a guest on the show, as none other than PCO is going to be joining us. So we're definitely looking forward to that. But first, D'Amica, you ready? Let's talk about some pro wrestling. How about Money in the Bank?
MITB, Money in the Bank. I'll be honest, I was not looking forward to that pay-per-view. There was very little interest on my part, but I folded, I swayed, I paid my $9.99 to the network, and I watched.
So here's the thing. I want to get your thoughts on, of course, we're not going to do a full review of the show since we already have that in the bag here on FOW Radio. Check that out on the backlog. But I want to get a couple of thoughts on you here. First, the Money in the Bank winners. Braun Strowman, now Monster in the Bank. And then you got Alexa Bliss, the goddess of the WWE, not only becoming Ms. Money in the Bank, but then cashing in that very same night and becoming once again Raw Women's Champion.
I think it was almost not a surprise to anyone, the two winners. Braun was basically pushed so strongly leading up to this pay-per-view. I mean, he won the greatest Royal Rumble. He got that big, huge cup, that title belt. He's been saying he wants to fight Brock Lesnar. So this Money in the Bank and them having the moniker Monster in the Bank before he even really officially won was just kind of a, you know, like, hey, get ready. We're about to sell some shirts. This is what's going to happen. And he won. Alexa, again, out of all the ladies who were there in the match, she was the most likely to win. But I was surprised it was two Raw competitors. I really thought they would give SmackDown a bone. But Alexa winning and cashing in, I think, was a stroke of genius. You didn't expect her to cash in that night unless Ronda Rousey won. At least I didn't think so. Her perfect timing, not letting Ronda win, which means Ronda didn't technically lose the match, keeps Ronda strong in the face of, you know, her early WWE career, but it also gives you a quote-unquote better champion, somebody who everybody can chase after and try to beat and maybe have a possibility of beating. They made Nia look so strong, even though she's not all that good on the mic and in the ring. Alexa is your perfect package. In the ring and on the mic, she can actually perform well. So she deserves to have won the Money in the Bank. And, of course, cashing it in, it was perfect timing. And congratulations to the WWE for getting it right this time.
And what were your thoughts on Ronda Rousey? Because she looked great in her first singles match, in my opinion. What were your thoughts about her singles debut on a WWE pay-per-view?
Honestly, I was considerably worried because she was in there with Nia Jax, and Nia is not a ring veteran. Her previous matches, she had lots of people around her that could help carry her through a match that could make her look good. I did not trust in Nia's ability to do that. I honestly didn't trust in Nia's abilities not to hurt Ronda doing some of her offense, because Ronda is used to people who actually know how to take bumps. Rousey's still so young in her career, where it's not natural for her to take some of the moves that she took. So all that aside, it was good, but it was ugly kind of good. I'll take the swinging of Ronda into the barricade, where that spot is incredibly dangerous, where most girls or guys will kind of put their hands up and tuck their chins down into their chest to kind of have the side of their arms hit the barricade as opposed to their body. Ronda didn't do that. Ronda took all of the hit with her full body going into it. I'm just like, oh God. Samoan drop. The drop was very quick. Ronda couldn't get her body positioned correctly. Nia didn't pull Ronda into it right. It was ugly, but Ronda made it look good. It helped that Ronda didn't know what she was doing or didn't have as much experience as someone else, because it helped Nia's offense look even more devastating. It also helped the story that Ronda came back from, you know, getting beat down by this humongous woman to try to almost literally wrestle the title from her fingertips. So I was impressed, but it was more so that they were able to get through the match and nobody got hurt.
Yeah, that was also good. I also had my concerns, but I was really impressed with it because of the low expectations and how great they did. It was my match of the night going in there. But definitely a great night of wrestling and a lot of good stuff coming out of Money in the Bank. Just makes you think twice. Hey, you may not be looking forward to a show. It may not necessarily be the most exciting thing, but if you stick it out and watch it, you're going to see some gems. And I think that we got to see those coming out of Money in the Bank. But the day before Money in the Bank, we got NXT TakeOver Chicago. And they, of course, like every TakeOver, blew things out of the park. They had a great lineup. Five matches only, as it is their structure. And that makes it for an easy watch. So let's talk about it. We had the Undisputed Era opening the show, defending their championships versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. This was my match of the night. It was fantastic. A great way to open it. And, of course, all four men are great wrestlers. Of course, you know, you and I are a little biased when it comes to one, Danny Burch. But I thought this was great to get out, get the show started, and the fans were excited.
TakeOver, like you said, always blows everything out of the water. They bring their A game each and every time. Usually the opening matches of most pay-per-views are kind of like, huh, okay, it's the opener. This was one of those where if you watch this match from the beginning to the end, you almost felt like you were in the middle or almost in a semi-main event because they were so good. There was like, this is no way this is an opening match of this whole pay-per-view. I missed some stuff. I watched it from the beginning and went, holy crap, they are bringing their A game. These guys went all out. I don't know how long the match was. It almost felt like 20 minutes. And it was not so like dragging on a long match. It was just, there was so much happening. Undisputed Era, those guys are golden. Some people don't like Roderick Strong. Some people do like Roderick Strong. Some people don't like Kyle O'Reilly. Some people do like Kyle O'Reilly. Adam Cole is not everybody's favorite cup of tea, but just that unit in general right now, they make you take notice. Yes, we're completely and totally Danny Burch fans. Our Martin Strong, our governor, we love watching him in action. We know how badass he is in the ring. To see him out there more than holding his own, not just, just going, okay, well, we know Undisputed Era is going to win. There were legitimately times in that match where I was like, oh my God, he's going to win. Oh my God, he's going to win. Because that's how much effort they were putting into it. You didn't know which way it was going to go. And that's how a match should be. As wrestling fans who talk wrestling all the time, who are involved in wrestling promotions, we tend to be quote unquote smarter than the rest. This opening match made me back to a fan where I just didn't know what was going to happen. I just cheered the action and I just enjoy every moment of it. There was nothing. The only bad part about this match is that it ended. That's it.
So yeah, we're followed then by Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. And of course the story here with Velveteen Dream telling Ricochet, anything you can do, I can do better, but quite not being able to do that. And so we get Ricochet, of course, he's Ricochet. We all know what he can do. Velveteen Dream comes out in a mix of Prince Puma tights with a little bit of Hulkamania running wild. It looks like he embraced Hollywood Hogan there in his outfit coming in.
Totally.
I think that for Ricochet, a little bit toned down of a match, but I think rightfully so, because Velveteen Dream, while he's a great performer, I think his wrestling would not be up to par with Ricochet. No offense to him. So I think that definitely we're going to see everything that Ricochet could do, because we want to see an even playing field between Ricochet and the Dream here. What'd you think of the match? I enjoyed it, and it was what, second longest match of the night, but definitely told a story and great way to put Ricochet over.
It was an excellent way to put Ricochet over. It was also an excellent way to, I think, sell people more on the Velveteen Dream, not just the character, but the wrestler, to give him a platform against somebody as highly touted as Ricochet. On paper, as a indie fan, you go, please, Ricochet is going to eat this kid up, you know, whatever. He's not ready. But watching it, I was pleasantly surprised to see that Velveteen Dream was able to keep up athletically. I didn't think he would be as quick to kind of keep up with Ricochet, but the pace slowed down. And it didn't slow down to a point where it was dragging, that you felt that Ricochet was putting on the brakes, that he was holding back. It just made sense for the story of their match. The fact that Dream did Ricochet's moves, a couple of his moves in the match, again, is a kind of a shout out and a throwback to, you know, old school wrestling, like your Hogan wrestling, where somebody would try to, you know, steal the other wrestler's move to put him away, or at least to embarrass him. The Velveteen Dream character is so over the top, but it is still grounded in the fact that this kid is really hell athletic. And of course, Ricochet, just the one and only, the most athletic out there. I liked it. I really did like it. I probably would have reversed the order and put this on match on first and then went forward with the rest of the card. But overall, it's a great slow start, but an eye-opening experience for people who don't know who Ricochet is, to kind of get familiar with his work and to see him in a WWE ring.
Definitely. And I'm looking forward to seeing now, as we're recording this, the tapings for NXT for the next few weeks have already happened, but we don't know what is happening, because we like to stay spoiler free. So the recording thing, the show's already been taped, and you know, so we're not gonna try to figure out what's gonna happen, because most likely we're gonna be very wrong going forward. But hopefully look to see more different exciting programs for Ricochet. Next, for the NXT Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler defeated Nikki Cross by technical submission as Nikki Cross passed out. That was, I think, a great way to protect Nikki, but then also a great way to portray Baszler as a huge threat and this big monster heel who's as tough as they come, can take down anybody, and how she why she is the superior athlete and the NXT Women's Champion.
It was a great match from both ladies. The story of the match was the fact that Nikki Cross was so crazy. She's not afraid. She's not scared. And the whole driving force behind Shayna is that she is scary because of her skills, because of her basically bullying the other women in the locker room, how she's, you know, just going to go out and just hurt these ladies. And the story of Nikki not being scared of her and loving the pain, it was told so beautifully by them in the ring that this is another one of those matches I did not want to see end. I wanted to see them literally fight forever. Nikki being put to sleep with a smile on her face. Not only does it protect Nikki's character as being just out and out crazy, it also gives that hint of Shayna. If she cannot lock this move in on Nikki, would she have retained? Would Nikki have not just come back to beat her? So I am sure we're going to see them touch again somewhere down the line, perhaps some kind of stipulation match. And it just lends to the fact that both of these women are super talented, that Shayna has, again, as we said before, done the right thing in her wrestling career. Where we're talking about Rousey now in the main roster, Shayna will be an easier fit into the main roster because of her not just NXT training, but because of all the training she did in Japan and the Indies before she got to NXT. So this is just building up this monster character for this monster move that when we see her in the main roster, nobody be surprised when she just starts putting girls to sleep.
So that leads us to the NXT Championship match. Aleister Black defeats Lars Sullivan to retain his championship. I think no one was surprised about this outcome. But I thought it was a good showing, not the greatest showing. I'm not 100% sold on Lars, although he is big guy and moves well. I feel like there's something that's not clicking for me. But a very good contender for Black, as he's, you know, needed somebody to work with, and a few of the other top guys were still not yet positioned in that spot, or, you know, they have other championships. So Aleister Black remains your champion here. What'd you think of the match?
It was a really good match. Neither one of these guys are small, and Aleister, you know, continuously trying to hit Black Mass, getting it caught, and then finally having to do it, they said two times, but actually it was two and a half times because one of them didn't quite catch. But the physicality between these gentlemen, to watch them kind of go at it, to watch Lars, who is just, he seems insanely big. Like, I don't know if I would ever want to be standing close to him because it would just feel intimidating from a smaller vantage point, but just to watch them kind of go at it and literally beat the hell out of one another was amazing. Again, NXT is doing it right. The storytelling, the physicality, every aspect of what makes professional wrestling was there. The physicality, the story, just not even the physicality in the ring or just the way everybody moved, everything flowed, the commentary team, everything fit to make this takeover one of the better pay-per-views, or excuse me, the best pay-per-view of the weekend. And that's considering Money in the Bank is one of their bigger pay-per-views.
And that all brings us down to the main event, Chicago Street Fight, where Tommaso Ciampa defeats Johnny Gargano. And this tells us that this fight, this war, will continue. But I did enjoy the match. I think it was most people's favorite match for the story that I told. You know, these two men hate each other, you know, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to hurt each other. And they did that. And, you know, we saw that callback with Johnny Gargano after he had put Ciampa through the table. And then he was just sitting on top of those containers or whatnot, just looking down at Ciampa. You know, showing us, you know, going back to when Ciampa did the same with Johnny. And then we just when we're thinking the match was over and they were going to take Ciampa out, no, they went back to the ring and fought. And, you know, there was no referee. But then Ciampa got sneaky and then DDT'd Gargano on the wood there that was not protected by the padding on the ring. And he gets the win and leaves victorious. 35 minutes here, a brutal main event that we definitely know now is going to continue most likely until Brooklyn 3. So how did you enjoy this match between Gargano and Ciampa?
I mean, this is, the whole match was a callback to over a year. They kept saying, oh, you know, over 390 some odd days since the first inception. And if you think about it, when is the last time that you had a storyline lay out over an entire year? It's unheard of in the WWE. You might can think of possibly something in the indies. I can't think of anything that comes to mind as I was listening to it then and now that had a storyline that just played out over a year's time. And the brutality, I don't want to say physicality, the brutality is something that you don't see every day in a WWE ring. This, for me, was truly a indie match. This was an industry fight. They fought everywhere. They fought in the crowd, through the crowd. They fought on the stage. They pulled back the padding on the ring and exposed the wood underneath. That is something that, you know, I've seen in the indies that, you know, you're going to be devastating with this move. You had handcuffs. You had just weapons. Somebody had a stop sign in a sign. I mean, just the craziness and everything that happened where they tied it together. Candace giving Johnny the crutch, telling him to kick his ass. Ciampa at the end, giving the little wave. We have not seen the end of this, and it's wonderful and scary at the same time because I don't know how they top this. I don't know where they go from this. But if anybody can help think of something for them to do, I think that these two know each other enough and their hate and creativity will perhaps in Brooklyn, like you said, culminate into another just match of the year, if not of the night.
Indeed. So with that, it's time to give it a grade. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes here to think about yours. But I'm going to give this show an A minus. I would have gone for straight A, but, you know, the NXT Championship match was not exactly what I wanted to be. Otherwise, yeah, they would have gotten an A for me. But A minus is where they're getting Chicago Street Fight, the title matches, Ricochet, and Velveteen Dream. I think it was a very well put together show. You know, really easy to watch. I enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to see where the stories go from here. I mean, think about this. We have an NXT show here with all these guys who weren't here 3 or 4 years ago. You know, and it's crazy to see where NXT is going to be in another year or two as more guys get called up and more guys continue to get fed into the system. So what is your grade?
I would also give it an A minus, but for location, I have to give it an A plus. I'm biased. It was Chicago. The crowd helped in every match because they were into everything that was happening in the ring. Even when, again, I talked about in the NXT Championship match, how the Black Mass, that it was 2.5 instead of, you know, 2 times, because one time that Black didn't connect fully. The crowd gave him a little hell, not a whole lot, because the match was such a match. They appreciated the effort and everything that both guys put into it, where, you know, he could have screwed up a little bit, but the crowd just like, we're not going to totally poop on you, man, because you've been kicking ass. You've been getting your ass kicked. This is a great match. So I'm going to say A+ for TakeOver Chicago 2.
So with that, let's go ahead and move to some other stuff that are going on. And I think it's now time for a little bit of somber news. Big Van Vader, Leon White. So he passed away a couple of days ago. His heart gave out. Big loss in the wrestling world. Tamika, we got to see him live in Living Color in Jasper, Georgia. We got to see the Mastodon live. And who knew that was going to be the last opportunity we're going to have to see him. Got to meet him, shake his hand, thank him for everything he's done. I remember getting my picture with him. And now he's gone. But what is the legacy that Leon White, Big Van Vader, leaves in pro wrestling?
He leaves a huge, huge legacy behind. There'll be lots of tributes and lots of words, but just to kind of sum it up, he was one of the original big men who could move. You would look at his size and not think that he was as agile as he was, but as big as he was, his heart and his kindness was, you know, kind of well known and knew no bounds. So people just absolutely positively loved him. He's a part of a lot of people's childhoods. Even if you weren't a huge wrestling fan back in the 90s, you're a Boy Meets World fan. Vader got Corey and Topanga together. I mean, just pop culture and wrestling, he mixed into both well enough where people just would love to see him. Even in his latter years here, as he was, you know, struggling with this illness, people were still reaching out. People were still just happy to see him out and about or doing anything. Like you said, we got a chance to see him here, and that was an experience. That was a treat, because, you know, this was somebody who we grew up watching, and to be able to shake his hand and again, thank him and to see him in action for the final time here for us. Yeah, it's very somber. Our condolences, of course, to his friends, family, and all the fans who, you know, are going to definitely miss his presence here.
I think that to me, Big Van Vader, man, the Mastodon, you know, he was, to me, when I started watching wrestling in the early 90s, an important figure. You know, he was WCW champion. He destroyed everyone in path. And then when he, you know, he had those matches with Hulk Hogan. And, of course, I love those. You know, Hulk Hogan being my favorite wrestler. So, and then getting to see the chance for him going over to WWE, and maybe not necessarily the way that, you know, he would have preferred. You know, it didn't end the right way. It wasn't the best of runs, but, you know, I did get to see him go against one of my other favorites in Shawn Michaels. And just to know that he was able to do a lot of things great. And, you know, he was a very important figure, and I definitely think he will be in the Hall of Fame. Kind of a shame that he hasn't gotten inducted yet, but he's definitely getting inducted now. He's got to go in sooner than later. But yeah, it's a big loss to the wrestling community. And like you said, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends of Leon White. You know, I can only, you know, one never takes loss easy, and especially a man who definitely was loved and cared like Vader was, I'm sure that it's hard on a lot of people. I know it bummed me out when I found out about it, but I'm glad I got to meet him before he passed away. So that, to me, I will always cherish that. In some of the bad news, Sami Zayn injured, two torn rotator cuffs. He'll be out the remainder of the year. He'll be back sometime in 2019. A guy who's, I think, one of the better talents that WWE has. And I think the Raw roster is going to take a hit, but not be able to have his talent. Not necessarily a guy who main event shows, but a guy who can really go and put out great matches. But it sucks that he's going to be out. So we definitely send him well wishes. Now, do you fear for the Raw? Do you fear for Monday Night Raw with now missing Sami Zayn?
I don't fear for Raw missing Sami Zayn. I fear for Sami Zayn coming back off of injuries like this, because he's had a really tough time staying healthy in the WWE. So this is injury after injury, after being on a roll, after being on a roll. So I think Raw, it will be fine. It's just that once he's back, him getting back into the swing of things, and how wrestling fans are very forgetful. If you're out of sight, out of mind for this estimated length of time, that could be very bad on a career. But hopefully the WWE does right by him and kind of sort of keeps him relevant in the loop in some kind of way, shape, or form. Perhaps, you know, sliding in the commentary would be good. I don't know, but I'm hoping that his recovery is swift and that we see him sooner rather than having to wait until, you know, 2019. That's such a long time away right now.
Definitely. Well, we definitely send our well wishes to one Sami Zayn on a speedy recovery, and that he can come back better than ever. All right, so let's go over to the other side of the world. New Japan Pro Wrestling, as they're getting ready to come to San Francisco for the G1 special. The G1 participants have now been announced. And here is where we stand with the blocks. In the A block, we have Hiroshi Tanahashi, Togi Makabe, Michael Elgin, Kazuchika Okada, Jay White, Yoshihashi, Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Page, Evil, and Minoru Suzuki. In the B block, we have Juice Robinson, Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, Tama Tonga, Tetsuya Naito, Sanada, and Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, sorry. Forgot I'm not supposed to sing. Gosh, why? Why is it so hard in these blocks? I mean, I guess, of course, you want the best of the best, but you literally are fighting your way out of these, and it's just, am I supposed to pick a winner? Am I supposed to pick a winner for a block? I mean, this is practically impossible. All these guys are talented. Some of them are just overly, extremely, madly talented. Can I wait till the end to pick a winner?
You know, it's really hard to pick a winner, and we'll go into more details later about the matches and how everything's all scheduled. But we're gonna get to see the Golden Lovers go battle against each other on the last night of the B block. So that's gonna be a special right there. So we know that those two are gonna basically most likely be one of them that will win B block. At least that's my personal belief. But think about the matches with the B block. Okay, Ishii versus Omega. Again, that match was great once. We'll get to see Omega versus Zack Sabre Jr. Naito versus Omega. Ibushi against Saber Jr. again. So just those fantastics on the A block. Okada versus Suzuki. Okada versus Elgin. Okada versus Tanahashi again. Those two have had some of the best matches. Tanahashi, Suzuki. We're just looking at two blocks fully stacked and a lot of great competition, which is going to make a lot of great wrestling for us this summer. This G1 is pretty stacked, like most of them usually are, but this one's got people salivating for some of these matches that we're going to get to see.
People salivating. You got debuts in there with Hangman Page and Jay White. I mean, they've been tearing it up. They've been doing their thing. So to see them now being able to compete in a G1, and they'll have to compete against one another as well. I mean, geez, salivating. Are you kidding me? I'm going to have to be up in the middle of the night watching this stuff, or middle of the morning, I guess, because you don't want to miss out on this. You really don't. It'll be some awesome, awesome stuff.
Definitely a great way to get people to sign up to New Japan World for only 999 yen. So take advantage of that. A lot of great action coming up your way. Surprised that there's no Cody?
No, because Cody's... I don't want to say Cody doesn't need the G1 to do this, but because Cody's just doing so much right now, why not kind of, you know, give him a quote-unquote break? He's all in, you know. He's got to be all in on other stuff.
All right, so that's what we got for wrestling chatter. And now we like to welcome to the show none other than PCO, the man that has been on fire in the independent scene. Man, PCO, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us tonight.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks to you, Patrick. Thanks to your co-host, Mika. I mean, it's great that you thought of me, you know, to have me on your show, and it's a pleasure for me doing it.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and just get things out of the way. PCO, no disrespect. When I found out you were going to be at Joey Janela's Spring Break, I was actually surprised. I did not realize that you had come out of a brief retirement. You had been out of the scene for a few years, and I actually didn't know that you had returned. But, man, I was hyped when you returned. How has this return been since you came back in the summer of last year?
Well, that's like not a real fact news. Like, I don't know how Trump says it, but I think it was misinterpreted, like the fact that I was out of the business. I mean, I never said I was going to retire. I may have been like not as frequent as I am right now, but I mean, it's just that everything started to click around the end of 2017, and Crossroads, you know, with the best trainer in the world, Destro, and since that we met, everything kind of exploded all over the place. So basically, that led us to my match with Black Label Pro against Ali Goten Page, and then to the Walter match at WrestleMania 34 weekend for the Georgian Spring Break 2. And from that moment on, when I hit the split-legged moonsault, I mean, it was like Rocky IV, like one person at a time, like kind of got up with their feet, and eventually the whole place was just erupted like in craziness. And then they were up until the end of the match. And then that has been this big pop out for PCO. I mean, if I compare with, you know, maybe on different occasion, it's not going to be the same thing, but it's the same reaction as far as I was there when, you know, Stone Cold was rejected by WCW, was working with ECW barely, and WWE didn't want to sign him, and someone really, like, almost begged them to give him a chance, and then he was doing the ringmaster, and nothing was happening, and then that thing with Jake Roberts happened, when it was said that, you know, John 316, and they said it's going to be Austin 316, and the next night, you know, he was on fire. Same thing for Rock. Everybody hated him. Rocky sucks. Pop the eyebrow. Boom. It happened. Hulk Hogan did the movie Rocky III with Stallone. Popped out the territory. What else? Chris Benoit. I saw him for like 3 different matches on tryouts with WWE. They overlooked him. They sent him back home. Went back to Japan, signed as a horseman with the WCW. Sorry, and then popped out right after that. So sometimes there's a lot of failures or a lot of setbacks. And those people that do believe in themselves, sometimes they're the one who pops out things. And I think that was my mindset, you know, this year.
So you've been around for a lot of, I guess some people would call it history, or, you know, you've seen the start of some people's careers. You've probably seen a lot of ending of careers. Right now, I think we would say that at 50 years old, this is a resurgence in your career. If you could go back and talk to the younger you, what would you say to yourself, you know, back in those earlier days?
It's hard to say, but one thing is for sure, it's like the dream that I had at 14 years old, it was so huge and so big that, you know, to accomplish that dream that I had, you know, set myself, you know, to accomplish it and to really, you know, think that I could really create something with my own life, you know, like creating things, you know, by, you know, different ways, if I can say. I needed to work on a lot of different aspects. And I mean, even if I would say things to myself, I don't think myself was ready to listen to those things. So, you know, it's like when someone comes up to you and gives you an advice, but when you're not at that point to understand that advice or listen to that advice, it just goes to your ears and you don't pay attention to it. So I think that if I could go back in time and tell myself things that I know of today, I think I would have still to, you know, live it and make my own experience before I can discover, you know, what went wrong in my life or in my career. So I think it's just a learning life process or career process.
that's more than fair. You know, like you said, but I guess youth, they say youth is wasted on the young. That's one of those old sayings, but I guess to kind of go back and try to talk yourself into something, you have to live that experience first, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got a 10-year-old daughter, and I know that I'm going to try to, you know, teach her things, but I know that she's probably going through that process of, you know, going out with a guy that I probably won't maybe like or probably won't be my style, and she might, you know, come out and come back home drunk a few times. But I know that's part of life, and that's part of living the experience and fighting things, you know, that, you know, at a certain point you realize that those things aren't working for you, and you're ready to do something else. But then again, it doesn't work with age, because I know people that are my age or are 40 years old or 60 years old, and they still, you know, are frustrated about their past. They blame it on their boss. They blame it on their colleagues at jobs. They blame it on the society, on the politicians. It's everybody's fault except their fault. And the way that I turn things around for myself, it's at one point I was, you know, like writing things of what I was thinking about others, you know, and at the end, you know, when I had like 2-3 full pages of things written down about people that I done, you know, I didn't like about them, it hit me like it was a mirror, and it was basically writing about my own self. And that was like a turning point where I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, well, don't blame Vince McMahon. Don't blame the Click. Don't blame Shawn Michaels. Don't blame Kevin Nash. Don't blame whomever. Just take full responsibility for what happened to you, and just, you know, roll up the sleeves and just work harder at it, and work at it and be dedicated and just change things, you know. That's basically my thought process that went on.
That's awesome. And, you know, now, you know, this big resurgence of yours, I mean, the last 3 months or so have been huge for you. You've been all over, a lot of excitement. Do you expect the reaction from the fans that you have been getting, especially as you're getting booked here and there and everywhere, how excited fans are and how everybody's looking forward to seeing PCO live and being able to, you know, see you just have these matches that you've been having the last few months?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, that's what I always wanted to accomplish. It's to have people, you know, talk about me and wanted to see me live and want to live the PCO experience and what it's all about. And drawing, you know, big crowds. And, you know, it always depends on the way that the promotions are done, too. I mean, it's hard to draw a big crowd when there's no promotion around, you know, the federation that promotes it. You know, it all depends on what they have as the tools. But, you know, of course, you know, I'm trying my best, you know, to, you know, I read a lot of tweets, a lot of messages on Facebook, and I see people tagging other people and people telling other people or telling me, you know, I was not going to Bola, but now I'm going, you know, I wasn't going to that show, but that PCO is there, I'm going to go to that show. And I started seeing people throwing my name with Undertaker, with, you know, John Cena, with AJ Styles, with Braun Strowman, with Brock Lesnar, and mixing it all up. And it's really, you know, it's really coming on glue, you know. So I'm really looking forward to having like great matches, and especially, you know, like electrifying the crowd, you know, from whatever is gonna happen. Like, you know, that's my goal.
The different types of places you've been booked at, you've been doing, you know, you just did the Men's Commonwealth Cup over at Nova Pro, and that's a big one. You've been announced for PWG's Battle of Los Angeles, which, you know, it's a very popular tournament. And now, as announced, you are the 16th entrant into the Cynic City Invitational. So your thoughts about just all these opportunities opening up all over for you, and what are you looking forward to the most for the rest of the year?
Well, it feels like life is preparing me for something even bigger. It's like I'm going to all, you know, like I'm going to go to Germany, England in November, and I'm going to all those, you know, states of America. And I feel like, you know, the people get the chance now, the PCO, PCO, PCO. And it just feels like you know, like, if I haven't done like 200 podcasts, you know, in the last 3 months, you know, I haven't done one. So, like, I'm doing like 2 or 3 a day, you know. I'm like, I'm really, really, there's some guys that have been like texting me for whatever tickets for a show or for bookings or for a podcast that I didn't have time to pick up the phone today. Because I was shooting promos for, you know, C4 in Ottawa, shooting another promo for a rematch against Walter. I had you guys on podcast. I had another podcast. I had to go get some stuff for my a new costume that I'm going to have it made for the General George General Loss in New York for August 17th at Melrose Ball. So, no, I've been running around from morning to night, and I cannot even, like, I haven't had, got a chance to answer my Twitters or my Facebooks. And usually, you know, I answer, like, everyone. Like, if I have, like, 300 messages a day, usually answer 300 messages a day. So, I mean, it's taking a lot of time, plus my conditioning, getting in shape, getting, you know, ready for the next tour, because every weekend I'm working like 3 to 4 days, you know, per week. And it's just getting me crazy. Like, something bigger was coming at me, and it was getting me prepared for something so big that I cannot handle it right now. Like, I would need a secretary right now, but I cannot put my business in the hand of a secretary, because it's gut feeling sometimes, you know. Sometimes I have to choose between 3 different promotions for a date, which one I'm going to take. And sometimes I take one before the other one, and I almost wish that I could have, you know, taken the other one, but it came like a few weeks or days after, so it's too late. So I never, like, cancel any bookings. I haven't done cancel bookings so far. So it's very, very, like, demanding, and it feels like life is preparing me for something so huge and so big that I cannot imagine how big it's going to be. The wave is coming right at me, I think, right at us.
But talking about coming right at you, and you brought up Walter, that was one of the things that I was there WrestleMania weekend, and like Patrick said, I heard you were back, and I was amazed, shocked, awed, and so many other adjectives that I will not try to say at watching you and Walter. And just talking with a couple of people today, the key word and the thing everybody wanted to know was the chop battle with Walter. Like, yeah. how bad did that hurt?
I mean, it's not too bad, you know.
Not too bad?
No, I've had so much pain during my life. I mean, I haven't got beaten by my parents or any other adults, but I've had like a rough life, like, you know, mentally, you know. A lot of, got shot by a pellet gun when I was 12, you know. I got hit in a hockey game. I lost my bow tooth in the front, you know. I got a dislocated shoulder when I was 13, playing hockey. Always, like, like, tough injuries, and not major, but, you know, something tough to, you know, just never had it, like, easy that much. And mentally, you know, it's been, like, so draining. Well, I thought that when I was going to make it to WWE, I was going to be finally happy. And that was the years where I was the most miserable of my life. I was never happy, because my life was going from Monday to Monday. And I felt like my life was depending on that sheet on the wall on the Monday. Not that I really cared about doing a job or not. It's just like, you feel like at one point when you're losing every week, you're wondering, are they going to have something for me to bring me back up into another character, or are they just going to kick me out? And then it starts, you know, playing with your mind. And it's really hard to live that, you know, if you're not used to. And then especially when I first started to envision my goal when I was 14 years old, and it was such a huge goal, like I said, such a big dream. You focus about arriving there, you know, you focus on the destination and you forget, you know, the journey. You know, you forget that every night is a WrestleMania night, and you thrive for that big WrestleMania night. Was going to be 100,000 people and so many viewers and things like that, and that you're missing the boat, you know, because you're always like, yeah, like someone who, you know, like you see the carrot there and you're trying to grab it, but someone pulls it with a string and you're never happy because you never get that carrot. As soon as you get something, you want something bigger. You get something, you want something else. You want something with something else. And at the end of the day, you're always miserable. So that's the thing that I was so unhappy when I was there. That's my most fun run. And all my career, I've done so many years, you know, in wrestling, and this is the year that I enjoy the most, that I can live, like, truly, like, express my passion about the business. So this is the year for PCO.
That's amazing that this is the year that you're enjoying most out of all the years that you've been doing this. And you've been doing this for a while, and you are an older gentleman, but you are still in phenomenal shape. What does your workout routine look like? Because you're putting some of these young guys to shame just physique alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy regimen. I mean, the workouts are tough. Destro is making the workout. The first shoot, he's the best, you know, coach in the world. Like, I mean, he knows everything about the human body. He knows how to prepare you for the unknown, how to get you out of the comfort zone, how to make you work under extreme fatigue. So he knows all that and how to avoid, you know, injuries by wanting to sometimes push yourself to more for nothing. So when he pushes yourself, it's somewhere where it's going to end up with a result without an injury. So he's so smart. So smart. I mean, if I would have crossed paths with this guy, I mean, I think that was part of my blessing, you know, my destiny. I mean, he had to be there. And when we connected, we both evolved, like, because he was, you know, he had been like in his garage, you know, bending pennies and a half and tearing decks of cards and bending nails. And you know, he had done a lot of things. Like, he's a good friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He did four times the Arnold Classic for demos. He did the Mr. Olympia. But it's like he was under the radar. And then since that, we joined force, him as a manager, coach, and me as a performer in ring, I mean, it had exploded for both of us. I mean, like, he's like going crazy about this character. I feel like this character is the most close character to my real personality. Not about the craziness, but about, you know, taking pain and the mental aspect of, you know, not giving up and just fighting back, resilience, not quitting, things like that. So this is a character that I'm real proud of. Always like characters like the Road Warriors, or when I was a kid, or, you know, strong character type of deal. So I think the fact that I can get a recharge with electricity makes me stronger. I think that really like fills the space that I thought no one else in the business never thought of using me in that way. And I think GCW, they're doing a great job. They know how to use me. And I gotta thank Joey Janela for that, and all the executives on GCW and Joey for having me on their shows. I mean, from there, everything kind of grew, and the chance, you know, to have a lot of companies that would show my videos and jump on the bandwagon and make it so organic and so big. And so that's been like the story so far.
Yeah, the PCO revolution is being crazy. And one thing to talk about the workouts is, and your character, is these videos that you've been making and putting on Twitter. These promo videos are crazy. And it's like, how do you come up with those? Because it's like, I see them as like, it blows my mind. Just some of the best stuff out there, I think. And man, it's just, you're just going out there, and you know, like the resurrection video, to this day, it's like I like to go back and rewatch it. It's just, where did you get the idea of doing these videos in this gym basement place?
Yeah, but you know, there's always a point why we're doing the resurrection, because it was a resurrection for real. So we characterize it as a character too. So it makes sense, because it's the resurgence, the resurrection of PCO. And in the meantime, the character is getting a resurrection, you know? So everything as a link to what's really happening in the ring and in my real life, everything is linked. Like everything that you see has a link with a real life PCO Destro. So it's all part of a whole story, and it tells a story in the ring. I'm telling you my story, you know, over this podcast, but those videos put on steroids, not the guys, but the stories, because they're larger than life and bigger than what you can imagine, but they're real. We're doing those feet of strength are real. Nothing is not real. The nail really goes into my nose, and everything is, you know, puts the power on me. Everything is so realistic, so real. But in the meantime, it's what I'm leaving. It's my life, and it's Destro's life. So it's just a way to express what we're living as human beings together. So that's why the creative side of it is so easy to have, because we're so passionate about it that our minds are like constantly thinking about, okay, the next video we're going to do this. Oh, yeah. We've written already like 12 other videos that are going to be insane, that we can't wait. Like, I wish I could have done, I know like I have 12 in front of me to do. I wish I could have done like the 11th one right next week, but then we're going to go by, you know, depending on where we at with the storylines and which company we're working and how we're getting used and things like that. Then we always had that feeling when we did the one when I got resurrected. And to me, it felt it was that proper way to use this one. We had the choice between 4 other videos. But I kept on insisting. I kept on calling Destro. I was on the road working. You know, it was like, no, we're doing the Commonwealth Cup. We had like different scenarios. And I said, no, when we come back, I want to shoot this one. And that's what we did. And then it went like very crazy, very viral. And then the match with Joey Janela, when he breaks the wood over my head and my head goes through, that went viral. And then when I threw a fallaway slam to him to the crowd from the balcony downstairs, and people cashed him and waved him all the way to the ring, that went viral again. And then I did a Canadian Destroyer on someone at Freelance Wrestling for the 4th anniversary. That went viral again. So it's like, you know, all those things adds up to the videos that we're doing. So it's just been like, feel like Midas. Like every time we're touching something, it turns out into gold so far.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, you know, you mentioned the show in New York where you'll be facing Matt Riddle. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that at some point when it comes out, because Matt Riddle is definitely a guy who I think you and him will have a really fun match. And people are, I'm sure, getting excited for that one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to tear that house down there, you know, to really, you know, give the fans, you know, what they really want. And I think it's going to be pretty electrical. Like, I think we'll be able to feel the electricity up in the air. And, I mean, just facing each other, you know, I've seen a lot of his matches, you know, I watched them live, at NOLA, New Orleans. And I watched him against Will Ospreay. I know what he's capable of. I watched him against a big guy like Keith Lee. So I kind of know, you know, where this thing is going to go. And I got a very, very big gut feeling about this match, that how good it's going to turn out. I mean, I really feel very, very good about it. I've been training really hard for it. And, you know, I've been wrestling every weekend since, you know, WrestleMania weekend, I guess. I haven't had, like, days off. But there was dates like, you know, August 17, you know, they are very important to me. And I'm not going to work harder, but I just feel like it's going to be easier because I know the GCW crowd, how crazy they are, like how intense and how they get into it. So they're just, you know, crazy. They're insane. I really love, like, I like the way they react. They're smart, but such a good crowd. So I think the tickets are selling like crazy. And so far, it's just my match that's been advertised. So I don't even know yet, because I haven't had time to go on Twitter. I don't know when they're going to advertise Joey's match. But I'm sure that's going to be a big match too. So it should be a hell of a card.
For sure. And now, you know, like I said, as announced earlier today, you're going to be in the Sioux City Invitational, which for us who live here in the South and go to it every year, it's a really important tournament for the South, for pro wrestling, for Southern wrestling. And I think you being a part of it, it's with the field that they have out there, a lot of great young guys that could match up with you, as well as a guy that you just faced not long ago, Nick Gage. And then also another fellow former WWE wrestler in Tuco Scorpio. Have you gotten a chance to take a look at the opponents?
I mean, I've been so busy, you know. I've watched some names like that came out through the time, but whoever they throw in front of me, you know, I'm going to make the best out of it and try to enjoy like every second of it. Like, I've heard like only good things about this tournament, how big it is, how great it is, well organized.
Definitely, and I think that you can definitely match up and have an exciting match with many of the wrestlers also in there. So we definitely look forward to that. Of course, be there, front row, so not missing that one. And then, of course, the announcement last week that you'll be participating in Bola. PWG likes to bring over different people and make this tournament really fun. It's 3 nights. What are your feelings about getting inside the PWG ring?
It's been great. I mean, since I've been announced Monday, my phone's been ringing even harder than it was before and more often than it was. And I mean, now I know a lot of people are asking me how it would feel to win Bola. This is like, okay, give me a chance to get there. And before asking questions like that, but that's really an accomplishment in itself. It's something that will always be there with my record, you know, as a pro wrestler, you know, it will be there, you know, it's historical. So it'll be like, you know, PCO made Bola 2018. So no matter what, and all happens after that, if things keep on building up and things are getting crazier and bigger and drawing like great crowds and do super good, you know, I will always be so proud of being able to be part of that big event, like the super huge tournament that everybody's talking about, that everybody like around the world, like Canada, Japan, Germany, England, like people are, you know, traveling and buying tickets and watching, you know, on DVD or video, you know, or PowerBomb TV or whatever they choose for their retransmission of the live event. I'm sure that everybody will be watching that, so the buy rates on that event will be like off the roof. So very, very excited about that. And I want to, for that event, I mean, it's not the character PCO, it's the proper wrestler PCO. Like, it's going to be insane. Like, I'm going to show everything out there. Looks like I really want to make a big impact. So can't wait for Bola. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, imagine you could, by the end of the year, not only, you know, win the SCI and Bola, that's two huge accomplishments right there. And then, you know, like you say, this is leading to bigger things. You can sense that. And we can definitely see that. I mean, right now, you can only go up. Everything you're doing, it's turning into gold. And it's great to see that, and we're really happy that everything is working out for you. So as we wrap it up, is there any last message that you'd like to give the fans that are listening as they are experiencing the PCO revolution?
Well, first of all, like, I mean, thanks to everyone, like, for watching those videos and really, like, being interactive with me on Twitter. This is the platform that I like the most. I mean, of course, you know, you get access to my Twitter account, which is at PCO at PCO Quebec. When you get access to that, and then you get access to my Facebook, you get access to my YouTube, you get access to my Instagram. But just by getting, you know, subscribing and you know, adding me on Twitter, then you have, you know, all the cure, all the moves, all the, you know, hot stuff that, you know, come up during the week, and you have those videos like they're coming up once a week, so you have access to all that. And the thing, like, you know, I'm just telling everybody, don't let nobody label you as what you think you're not. Like, you know, like, You know, don't let nobody put a label on you saying, you know, you're that type of guy, or this is going to happen, this is going to happen to this guy. Because, you know, I've read so many comments like, if you would have told me in 1995 that Quebecer or PCO would have been, you know, on top of the indie scene, and it would be like the number one, like, contender for wrestler of the year, you know, all federation put together, I would have said, you know, you're totally insane and, you know, just crazy. So it just tells you that, you know, you have to believe in yourself and not let no one dictate the course of your life, even though it's sometimes it looks bad. And things can change in both ways, you know. You can be on top of things and you end up, you know, like pretty badly because you're over-arrogant, overconfident, or laughing at people, or, you know, making fun of people. And things are switching around so quick, you don't even, you know, realize it. And sometimes people, they count you for broken, out of the picture, never see him again, he's done, he's finished, and pop, you're right back up. So you don't know what each and every individual they got, that burning desire inside of them, the fighting spirit, that warrior spirit. I mean, you can't judge anybody, and you can't let no one put a label on you. You can only label yourself. And at the end of the day, whatever you label yourself at, that will be pretty close to that, what's going to come out. But who knows how much time, who knows how many years, and who knows how many sets and how many rounds and how many things you may have to do to accomplish what you were born to accomplish, or what you felt like your mission was, you know, as far as a human being. Then one thing that I know for sure is that that dream that I had when I was young was like pretty much about my ego. And now it's not so much about my ego, but it's more about creating the life that I always wanted to live. So it's about making people around me happier and inspiring people and doing my best to, by example, trying to get maybe, I don't know, someone who has like a life-threatening disease, or maybe cancer or leukemia, who just not some problems, their jobs or their business not picking up the way they are. If my story can inspire them to give them some courage and some more, you know, like fighting back and not, you know, letting bad things get you down forever. And then I think it's larger than just trying to feed my ego with some illusional things like, you know, well, I'm going to be, you know, this greatest champion because, you know, I want to dominate the world, you know, or, you know, it's not about, you know, getting beautiful girls or going out and having people like being all over myself or, you know, it's just about just being humble, being myself, but being able to do what I said I could do. And that means a lot to me. That means a lot about the human resource, the human power, the believing in yourself, the quitting good jobs for what you believe in, that burning all the boats, that, you know, when you're getting to an island so you can't go back, you can only go front, forward, and just messages like that. That's basically what I'm all about.
Well, we definitely can see that, and thank you for taking this time to speak with us, PCO. Everyone listening, make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at PCO Quebecer. Check out his upcoming videos as well as where he'll be wrestling next. Give him a follow and send him messages. He'd love to hear. So again, PCO, again, thank you for so much for taking the time to speak with us. Good luck with everything as it continues to go with you. And we look forward to meeting you in August when you come down to Tennessee.
All right, I will for sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Once again, we want to thank PCO for joining us here on the Fans of Wrestling show. Can't wait to see him at the Sydney City Invitational against whoever he's put in front of. It's going to be a wild night in Chattanooga. The Sydney City may never be the same again. And subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, Google Play. And also, please go on the iTunes machine and give us a 5-star rating. Give us some feedback on the show. We'd love to know what you're enjoying and what you'd like to hear on the show. For us, also check us out on the Twitter machine. We're FOW Radio. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.